another thing was the game and fish investigation. He was determined to tear that thing apart, find out what was wrong with it, and fix it. And of course, it was a virtually impossible task.
Why did he see this as such an important thing?
He had had many people, ordinary people, not big wheels. He had a great feel for those people. I mean, people could take his time who had never made over $10 a day in their life. They could get more of his time than a multimillionaire, really, and did. He loved to talk to those people. He'd go out in his bus, you know, campaign bus, pull up to a courthouse, and he sometimes wouldn't have all that big a turnout. He liked to think he had a tremendous turnout, but objectively, it wasn't all that great. He'd have a couple, 300 people show up, some of them to gawk, a few of them to come in and talk to him. But the people that would come in and talk to him about the Game and Fish Commission and all these other regulatory agencies and groups and boards and commissions and so on, all those things, boy, he would listen to that with great care. And he would take notes, and then he would get a secretary and dictate a little memo about it and all that sort of thing. And then he would go back to the Capitol and really try to do something about it. The Game and Fish Commission was one where there was some what he considered to be flagrant violations of law. Some of the commissioners themselves were selling equipment or buying equipment at cut prices to the state. One guy's baiting his fields over to hunt doves illegally. They used game and fish planes and money to go on out of state and out of country big game hunting trips. These are all charges that were made over and over and over to him. And so much so that he became very indignant about it and decided, and he kept running into discouragements, some of them from us, who thought it was a windmill that needed to be tilted at, but did he really have the time for that when there were so many other things? He didn't give a damn, boy. He just kept charging into that thing until, as in the book I think I wrote about that, he just finally, it was just all over. There was just one guy left, and, you know, it was the most tragic, frustrating experience for him and really for the people, and it was an enormously expensive proposition.
How well did Mr. Rockefeller relate with people who came to the bus and talked with him?
Real well. He was great at one-to-one, Rebecca. He could talk. He was charming in one-to-one relationships. Those people would come away from there really impressed. You get him before a crowd, and he shifted from one foot to the other and stumbled over words and was often ill at ease in speeches to groups. But get him in that one-to-one, eyeball-to-eyeball contact, and he was outstanding. And those bus tours, the people he talked to, he really communicated with. He made an impression on them. He was excellent. That was one of his strong suits. And that's why he liked to do it, I think, because he was comfortable. He'd get back there and cross his legs, and then some little old lady would come back there with her little homemade dress and little hair in a bun and little stockings kind of drooping on the back of the legs. You know the type. And sit down, and boy, he could relate to that gal, and vice versa. She came around thinking he was just the greatest thing in the world, and he was, really.
You feel like this helped him, then they would go out in the community and say, he's such a great guy, he talked to me.
That's right. It would help him. It helped him. Of course, those people, no matter how many friends they had, he couldn't see enough people, and through them, their friends, even to make that much difference. But it did do two or three things. For one thing, it publicized his willingness to get out there and get his knuckles broken and his breathe a little dirt. You know, that's one thing it did. And secondly, it was very strengthening to him because WR could not and never did see people in masses. He saw people as individuals. I don't know how to explain it exactly, but that's why he couldn't speak to a group. He saw people as people. He really did. He perhaps trained himself through the years, but he didn't see just a mass of faceless things. He saw people, and he could relate to them one to one, but he couldn't get it all together and talk to a crowd, quote unquote, or not very well. At times he did. He surprised himself even, and certainly us at times. He would just be great.